Oh yeah, finally awake, 2015. We're awake, we're going to talk about what we're seeing, and we're going to talk about what we're going to do about it. I'm Richard Grun, along with Joe Citrone. We're here tonight to talk about the news, what's going on out there. It's been a crazy week. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing good, Richard, and it's good to be here. Another week has gone by, and, you know, it's been a challenging week. And so far, it seems to be a challenging year, and we'll talk about that as we go on. But yeah, it's good to be here in cold New England, and I know where you are, it's the total opposite. So, with no further ado, how's the weather up there in Warmville?
It's not that bad. It's a balmy but wet 72 degrees here in Orlando, Florida. It'll be in the 70s pretty much all week long, though. But it's Florida. That's why I live here, and you don't. No.
Wow. What?
No, that's why I don't live up there. Let's put it that way. Uh-oh. Lost you again.
That was a big dose of live juice that you just threw out there, because let me tell you, it reminded me of Chevy Chase. Remember Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live? I'm right. Chevy Chase and you're not.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The world is crazy, but and we are too, but you're not for listening to the show. Fans, listeners, well, I don't like the word fans. You're really not fans. You're listeners and your cohorts in the battle. You're here because you want to learn. You're here just want to take what we do and then go do your own research. But we definitely appreciate you. The support last year was great. We're hoping that continues in 2015. Who knows what it had in store. But it's just been a crazy, crazy week on every level. We'll just jump to the biggest story of the week. I think sometime earlier this week, two gunmen walked into a satire newspaper office in France and shot the place up. They killed a bunch of writers who wrote what we would call critical or satirical comics and comments about Islam and Muslims and the Prophet Muhammad, and they'd also done that for Christians and Jews and Catholics, and nobody else had ever walked in and shot up the place, but these two guys did. A bunch of artists and editors died, and then they went on another spree, but it was Charlie Hebdo in France, and craziness, just absolute craziness. They two gunmen declaring allegiance to Al-Qaeda in Yemen, a third one to ISIS, and we're supposed to act like this was just criminal acts. I'm sorry, folks. We don't normally talk about this, but we have reached a place where we cannot ignore the darkness that surrounds these events. 17 people, journalists and police officers, and if you don't know it, the police officers in France do not carry weapons. They're not obligated to, and the majority don't, so the ones that were confronted died. 17 people, including journalists and police, died in 3 days in separate violent attacks and shooting attacks. Ended on Friday with a hostage taking at a Jewish deli in which 4 hostages and the gunman were killed. I don't know, folks. We have just reached a place we cannot ignore the demonic nature of that. A group called Boko Haram in Nigeria killed so many people, mostly Christians, that they can't even count them. Some are saying it's in the thousands. And the ones they didn't kill, they did despicable, horrendous things to. And this is going on all over the world. How long before it comes to our shores?
Can you hear me, Richard?
Yeah, I hear you now.
All right, good. Because I was scared that I was left way back there, and you just quantum leaped somewhere else. So I was way behind everything. But For what you just said, you know, I mean, the only thing that I can, listen, this is the only thing that I can come up with, and we both came up with this thought, and I guess we'll tie everything in a few minutes, but even that whole Florida man that throws the five-year-old daughter off the,
right.
I mean, this thing, okay, that the man was depressed and delusional, and is it a case of mental illness? And obviously, you know it, I know it, you know, on a medical standpoint of this stuff, I mean, how else do you rationalize something unless a person is mentally distraught to do something like that? But I have to say, as we go into the more darker times here, 2015 and moving forward, it seems to be the case for being mentally ill is getting weak now. I don't think it supports that too much. It's too many things are happening to just write it off now as mental illness. I think, obviously, I believe it goes a lot deeper. It goes more supernatural.
Yeah, I do too. I think what we're seeing violence-wise, and there's got to be a dark hand behind it. You can't ignore that. This kind of evil, especially what Boko Haram did, what these three people did in France. But what's interesting, and this is where I want to take this, today, I think it was today, we saw world leaders, Muslim, Jewish, every world leader except for one, joining arms in an unprecedented march against the Islamist militant attacks, either today or yesterday. The turnout was without precedent, too large to count, maybe 1.3, 1.5 million people. Many commentators said the last time they saw that large a street presence in the capital on that scale was at the liberation of Paris from Nazi Germany in 1944. We had representatives from, of course, France, Germany, Italy, Israel, Turkey, Britain, and even Palestinian territories walking arm in arm against this violence. The United States was not represented. You can go wherever you want with that one, but it's pretty obvious. But the thing that amazes me is that a 34-year-old French-Moroccan wearing a French flag named Zakaria Moumini, I'm sorry, I mispronounced it, said, quote, "I am here to show the terrorists they have not won. It's bringing people together of all religions." Now, here's what I want to throw out there to talk about for a little bit. In 1987, Ronald Reagan made a speech at the United Nations 42nd General Assembly. And, of course, we attribute this to alien invasion. But let me just read the speech, a quote from the speech, not the whole speech. In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. But let's just change the last word. How quickly differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing a threat from outside of our world. Here's what I see happening. I'm going to be very careful here with my words. This militant threat is going to unite the world in such a way that we could be on the verge of some kind of a confrontation or a war against this threat, and out of that chaos would come somebody from the Middle East or from Europe to calm it down and to bring peace. I think what we're seeing is a threat that will unite the world to bring us closer to that one world government.
Well, it's gonna. It's. You know what? This is really gonna go back to what we had talked about. And I think it was like middle of last year, maybe. I'm not sure exactly when it was, but we have talked about the violence, and obviously we know there's a lot of stuff linked to the Middle East and the end times, and obviously that's, we know those things are going to play into effect. But I think when our eyes are focused on the Book of Revelation, the end times, looking for certain sign of the times, which is true. I mean, we have to watch. We have to be. We have to be on top of everything when it comes to that. But I think what happens, what we forget about, is the stuff that are taking place in the world that surrounds all that, that maybe you don't link that it has anything to do with the end times, because you're so focused on one, you know, certain various topics that the Bible, that says in the Bible, but not so much what we're dealing with on a daily basis, on a worldly basis. I mean, let's say we say that the internet and cell phones, Facebook, Instagram has all been popular, you know, and it has a benefit to it, you know, on a positive level, but it also is a platform for evil. People are taking selfies before they die. I mean, it's almost becoming death's mouthpiece. The internet, you know, cell phones, Facebook, YouTube, is now switching off to where we're going into more of, hey, look, I have a good way to broadcast killing ourselves or killing somebody or torching ourselves on fire or whatever they're trying to do, you know, whether it's just playing around and accidents happen. So I'm just taken back by listening to so many different stories, listening to your story, you know, searching on the internet and just everything that's happening. Sometimes I have to step back and I have to breathe and take a deep breath and say, is this really happening? Because a lot of this is from a sci-fi movie to just a bad nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, you could put this in a movie and people say, oh, it's just another. Actually, we have had movies from the past that have had similar storylines that they would never let be shown today because they're so politically incorrect. But we're seeing it play out. And you know, we've concentrated on the whole satanic awakening or the alien invasion and all this other dark, you know, darkness, when in actuality, the thing that brings chaos could have a much more terrestrial, earthly source. Now, of course, we know that there are things behind it that will enhance it and propel it. But we're so busy watching the skies and watching the shadows, it's playing out right in front of us in broad daylight. The amount of bloodshed, men, women, and children, especially those of Christian beliefs, across the world, Africa, the Middle East, and we really don't see a lot of it on TV. We don't get told the truth at all. And I was thinking about that today. There was a time when stuff like this would go on, and you could count on the military, the media, to keep you posted. I remember working back in New York when I used to work at the health club. A lot of the NBC news people would come in there, including some of the Saturday Night Live people, because we were right down the street. And the thing that amazed me was when Anwar Sadat was assassinated and the news people came in and told me that the footage they got was much more bloody and brutal than what we saw, but they gave us as much as they could so that we were completely aware of what happened and saw everything. Well, that was 40 years ago. I don't think that's the case today. I think, matter of fact, the media does just the opposite. They tell us only what they think we need to hear or what they're being told we need to hear. You know, I don't want to sound Oliver Stone, Alex Jones conspiratorial, but the three terrorists that they killed. Isn't it amazing? Nobody's seen their bodies. Nobody has seen even a shootout. Nobody has seen any tangible evidence of what took place. We're just supposed to accept what they said. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but what I am saying is we're not being told the entire story.
Well, that's exactly, listen, we could call it a conspiracy theory. We could call it an X-file. I like to label it an X-file. But that's the whole thing. You have to wonder to what extent are we being lied to? Now, of course, there are times where the government or the president, even here in our own town, there are some positive things that are done in the community, in the world. And you know, a lot of times when these things are happening, they're happening usually just like a little smoke screen. Okay, look, this is going bad, but we're going to do this for you. And as long as they can keep that balance to a certain extent, you're going to say, okay, well, that's good. You know, like I always refer back to, you know, when the towers had gone down and all that craziness was happening, that it wasn't too long after that how quickly they found Saddam. So it's almost like for every bad thing that happens, it gets kind of covered up a bit, and then something else surfaces, and you're like, oh, well, wow, they got Saddam. And I always believe that they could have had Saddam at any time. So the timing is so perfect, and the deception is so vast that you just really wonder if you had, you know, and I'm just throwing this out as a thought. Say there was four people in the world, four people, and obviously there's probably a lot more, but let's just take that concept. Four people that knew the truth about everything that was going on, all the lies, all the cover-ups, all these things. What do you possibly do, like those people knowing that and concealing that information, knowing that the society is being lied to, all the cover-ups and how we can write this off as that, and bodies that just disappear, and just the craziest things that you can think of. How do you want to be that person or one of those elect to actually know the truth? And how does that affect them? Or are they used for, you know, supernatural significance? That means, were they just designed for that, to be able to retain all that information and not lose it? Or does it drive them mad? Have people died knowing the truth and you know, vowed never to leak that? It's just, you know, it's a weird concept to think about it, but I guess it's realistic that there are those select people that know the truth of what really is going on with a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
And how do you live like that? If you have a family, if you have, you know, a wife and kids, I mean, how do you live every day knowing that the world is being lied to?
Well, I guess once you sell your soul, you find a way to justify it. But think about this. If the theme this year is finally awake, then you need to be awake and alert, and you need to be paying attention to the little things. Watch over the next year, over the 2015, after 9/11, Americans were only too willing to give up some of their rights for protection, to be assured that what happened in New York would never happen to them. They were very willing to give up their God-given rights and to subject themselves to incredible oversights, which have increased. This is now going to happen on a global basis. What we saw happen after 9/11 will now happen after the thing in France on a worldwide basis. And I think it was Benjamin Franklin that says, rights given away can never be reacquired. And we're about to see that. We're about to see it on a level. So just pay attention. Not everything is a conspiracy. And also, I'll say this. A lot of these conspiracy websites, I believe, are misinformation places that are used to manipulate us away from, hey, look over here, look over here, and the person behind the shell, the curtain slides by you. You know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So just keep your eyes and ears open and watch how this plays out. It may be nothing. We just may have just wasted 20 minutes, or we may have just stirred the waters a little bit. Switching gears, I saw two films this weekend. One was Transcendence with Johnny Depp. I saw that on Netflix. And then I saw the recently released film Lucy with Scarlett Johansson. If you don't know them, Transcendence, Johnny Depp is a scientist who works with artificial intelligence. He dies. His wife can't bear the loss of him. They put his consciousness into a supercomputer, and eventually it becomes self-aware. And he, you know, it's a very man becomes God if he controls the technology. Well, Lucy's similar. While Transcendence is an actual film, Lucy is like somebody was writing a script while high on mushrooms, because there are moments you're sitting there going, wow, did they just really do that? But basically it's the same thing. She ingests synthetic drug that activates 100% of her brain, and eventually she becomes a goddess or whatever. But what struck me is the number of storylines, coming from television, from film, and in writings about either transhumanism, singularity, whatever you want to call it. And the one thing about the Transcendence film was that he created nanobots that when went into a body, they could replicate themselves and heal a person immediately, find the sicknesses and take it away, and all that other stuff. Well, it's not fiction. Austin Hines, founder of the San Francisco-based Cambrian Genomics, a DNA printing startup backed by venture capitalists, promises to push the technical and ethical boundaries of genetics. Quote, anyone in the world that has a few dollars can make a creature that changes the game, Hines told the San Francisco Chronicle. Normally, this would cost billions of dollars, but they have found a way to reduce the cost and to bring it down to a much cheaper level. And what he wants to do is to be able to manipulate DNA. You don't want your dog to die. You can take his DNA and make a whole new dog. Hey, maybe you want your dog to have a different color. Maybe you want it to be a little bit bigger. But I think this goes beyond just creatures and animals. I think this is going to become genetic designing and engineering. And he said, we want to replace every existing organism with a better one.
And that, I believe, is where the danger awaits, because it's almost like designing that perfect body, that perfect vessel to take all the strengths of a person and weed out any type of weakness, any type of sickness, any type of just genetic defects that can, you know, go through that person's bloodline or you know, the future. And then you can get into the whole thing of designing that perfect soldier or that perfect person. And once again, you still kind of wonder, is that all linked to the end times? I don't know if it was you that said this, but is all these experiments to find that perfect body for, say, the Antichrist? If he was to appear as a human being, would that body be a designed body that looks human, that has all the perfections that you need minus all the imperfections? Are they trying to find different ways to tweak every little strand to prepare for that one individual to come in? Or is that ultimately going to be the plan for everybody as a whole? Are we going to, you know, take a certain population or percentage of people who have genetic problems, who are older, abandoned, maybe, could be just, for lack of better words, people that have used the state going through the system? Can we get rid of them and start to carbon copy that person to fit a world that is almost perfect? Perfect in the sense of the motive that, you know, we have as a race going forward to the future. It's a controversy. There's many questions. There is conspiracies out there, as you know. But you wonder how much truth really is, you know, how real is a lot of the stuff that we've always perceived as fantasy?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, and this isn't scripted. The opening of the movie Lucy is with Morgan Freeman talking about, he's at a symposium talking about the brain, how much of the brain we use, what would happen if we used more, you know, 10%, 20%, and so on, and saying it would eventually happen. I read an article. I pay attention to a website called singularityhub.com. And this article jumped out at me because it matches what we saw in Transcendence and in Lucy. Can DNA nanobots successfully treat cancer patients? First human trial soon. Here's the opening quote. No, it's not science fiction. It's already happening, said Ido Bacalit to a somewhat incredulous audience member at a London event last year. It's almost like the opening of Lucy. And basically what he's doing is he's using DNA nanobots, critically ill leukemia patients. And of course, you're going to start there because, oh my goodness, if you can heal those terminally ill, do it. Make these nanobots, inject them. He's claiming zero collateral damage to any healthy tissue. But then you read the rest of the article where he says, let me get to it, that eventually anybody who comes in for a checkup will have nanobots injected into them to make sure that there's no sickness or disease or anything being missed so that they can treat it. And I'm thinking, okay, let's start with the terminally ill and then let's eventually just put them into everybody. First human trial starting soon. The patient who has been given roughly 6 months to live will receive an injection of DNA nanobots designed to interact with and destroy leukemia cells. Science fiction has become science reality. So when you watch, if you happen to go on Netflix or you happen to rent these films and you watch Transcendence, no, I wouldn't recommend watching Lucy unless you absolutely have to. But when you watch them, remember what we're talking about. And I had this thought, and we've had it before on the show. You have to wonder if Hollywood is being told what to make and when to make it to prepare society for an upcoming shift, an upcoming push in a specific direction. Case in point, the movie Selma, about Selma, Alabama, and Martin Luther King and the riots of the 60s and his confrontations with Lyndon Johnson. If there was ever a worse time to release that movie, this is it, with racial tensions at the height that they're at, unless that's exactly when they wanted to release it. You have to wonder, is somebody sending them suggestions, saying, hey, it would be great if this film came out during this time, any scripts that you may have that fit this genre, fit this message, would be good. I mean, are they just being suggested? Are they being funded?
You know something? Now, listening to what you just said, think about this. Are they being funded? If you remember, what was that video we seen when we came back from the C conference with the two women who were running out into the highway? What was that one?
That was Madness on the Freeway. That was the documentary, the British documentary about the two women that they weren't on any drugs, yet they did not respond as normal human beings do.
That is correct. Now, take something like that. Take that. If you wanted to hold, this is how I look at it. Do you know how many people probably have seen that and just said, oh, that's fake, that's not real, and just disregarded that as a hoax? How many things in the world are put right out there that seem too much to fathom to be real, that it must be a hoax or it must be photoshopped, or, and the majority of it is, as we know, there are a lot of things out there that we know has been faked, or you know, it's just that's the nature of the beast in that aspect. But how about the ones that are right there in front of us, and we just say, ah, that was a joke, that's not real. Or even when we're, you know, even doing investigating, the same thing. Oh, that's not a real spirit. That's fake. I don't believe in that stuff. How much falls by the wayside? And like you had said before, these little smoke screens that just pop up to deter you, it's almost like how do you hide the truth? You put it out there.
Right.
And people aren't going to believe it because it can't be. And that was a question that I've actually have been thinking about a lot this week. The question that's been going throughout my mind, floating around every day for the past week, has been this. You're on a planet, okay? You're in the universe. You're on a planet Earth, okay? There are stars and planets and places beneath us, above us, all around us. We're just a little planet in a huge solar system, okay? We get so caught up with television and working, it's almost like either we've blocked it out, we don't have time to think of it because of the daily grind that we go through life and in society. Now, we've got to stop and realize we are a race of beings out there in this huge universe, okay? Which we know it's supernatural related, and we know there are dimensions, and we've understood that. We have a grasp on that, okay? But I don't understand how the average household can go through life just existing to do what you got to do for your children. You get up, you go to work, you make dinner. You go to and fro in this little ticking trap of life, okay? And years go by, and that's it. And then you retire and hope you get a pension or you had a good job and you can retire and you collect a check for the rest of your life. Does it ever occur to the majority of people in the world that there's something else out there, there's something else going on? Does the thought of an afterlife and death and what happens beyond, is even a thought with the majority of these people in these households? I can't even explain what I'm trying to say because how I think it and see it in my mind, it's hard to even get out there, but I guess I just can't visualize me going through life or a person going through life being that ignorant and just assume that, oh, that's not real. This isn't real. That's not real. I don't believe in that. Well, believe you're in the middle of a universe that you were created and put here. That should be enough to get you kickstarted to say, okay, what else is there? I mean, do you take it for granted? You know, I mean, I just can't see the irrationality of people to be so ignorant and not even stop to realize that you should, it was a gift that you were even on this planet, you know, that you have the opportunity to live and breathe. I mean, have we forgotten so much and allowed so much to fall by that wayside that we just take it for granted?
I think so. I think many people want to live with their head in the sand. you've had it. You begin to try to tell somebody what's going on. You try to share with them, or you show them a picture of an orb with that's clearly a face. Oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to know. If I don't know, I'm okay. I was just talking to somebody recently who was doing a Bible study and wanted to share with people some of the stuff. And the prevailing attitude was, you know what? Don't tell me. If I don't know, it doesn't affect me. And we all know that that's nonsense. But for the most part, we have two extremes. We have the head in the sand extreme, or we have people that are so obsessed with what we're talking about, they miss the obvious, they miss the middle. You know, you have to be, if you're going to be awake and aware and alert, you've got to be able to see equally. Your peripheral vision spiritually even has to be equally in both directions. You can't be in one side or the other. You got to be right there in the middle so that you see all of it, so that you know what to do and you know where you're going and know what you should do. And that's why we do this show. That's why we do the Bible studies, so that not only do you have the knowledge of what is happening, but now what can you do about it? The thing that drives me crazy about most of these books and DVDs and conferences, it's all about, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. Okay, we've been hearing this now for 7 years. That's great. Now tell me what I can do about it. Show me, give me a plan. Give me something. Don't sell me product. Don't sell me bomb shelters and seeds and food. Give me a plan here. Walk through this with me. And that's where they that's where they get lost. They don't want to get dirty. They don't want to get personal. Before I forget, the video is called Madness in the Fast Lane.
Okay.
And if you go onto YouTube, it's probably got 1 million views amongst all of the postings. It's from 2008. That's not including the millions of people that saw it on the BBC. So you think about this, you think about the movies, you think about the TV shows. We're being indoctrinated very slowly, drip, 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 to accept and understand these things. And that's kind of like what I was thinking when I was watching those two films. I'm thinking, wow, neither one did very well, but you know millions of people saw them. And now they're going to walk away with at least part of that film accepted as fact, even though it may not be, although we know now the DNA nanobots thing is science fact, is that when it finally happens, when the doctor says, hey, I'd like to test something on you, would you be willing to take this injection of nanobots so we can find that tumor? And your brain's going to go, yeah, I've seen this. I've seen what it can do, and I'd be willing. See, if you sell somebody, that's what you mean, snake oil, the con men that went through the South and old America and selling the oil filled with alcohol, the snake oil salesman, this is your cure-all, this will cure everything. And people were willing to risk a dollar or whatever they were charging back then because you're going to cure them. We're having that now. We're having it with all these conspiracy websites and all the craziness that we see out there. And when conspiracy theory becomes conspiracy fact, the people have already accepted it. The bridge has already been built, and they just la-di-da walk right over it. You know, again, I'm not promoting these films. I'm definitely not. But I'm starting to be more and more disturbed by where we're going and what we're being set up for. And that's what I want you to do. If you're going to be alert, if you're finally awake, when you watch these things, or you listen to the news, or you listen to some of the speakers you've listened to, put that filter on. Look for something worthwhile keeping, and look for the alert. Look for the alert, the thing that you should be alert about. One thing you should be alert about is the number of earthquakes and the shaking that's still going on across America. Last week we touched on the earthquakes in Texas. Well, guess what? They're still going on. Irving, Texas has had nonstop minor earthquakes since September of 2014. And again, on January 9th, which was just 2 days ago, 3.5, 3.4, Oklahoma's shaking. Various other parts of the United States are shaking. And at the same time they're shaking, they're hearing these mysterious booms. The unexplained loud booms escalating across America in January of 15, and nobody knows why. And guess where they all center around? Either the New Madrid Fault or the San Andreas Fault. So is it the plates popping together? Is it from fracking and the releasing of the gas underneath it? I don't know. But what I do know is, as I look at the chart and I look at the areas experiencing the booms and the people reporting to local law enforcement about the minor tremors and about the loud explosions that they're hearing in the sky at 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you see that they center exactly around the New Madrid Fault, you have to wonder, is either A, is it getting ready to go, or is somebody trying to trigger it?
Well, that's food for thought. That's a lot of stuff to throw out there. And, you know...
Well, let me add this part to it. Let me add this part. Remember that Louisiana sinkhole that's bigger than a football field and still going?
Yes.
It sits almost right on the New Madrid Fault at the very tip of the BP methane bulge that exploded a couple of years ago off of the Gulf in Florida. So when you look at the line, either it's an incredible accident or all of this ties together.
Well, here's the other thought. And I know we're just freestyling tonight and we're kind of going a little bit over here, a little over there, but it's okay. Because every so often, I think we need shows like this. We need shows like this that are just raw, that we can get some stuff out there. I believe there's a lot of listeners who probably have always wished we talk about various topics or we elaborate on something a little more. And I think that's great. And in matter of fact, you should write to us if you have questions and you have a particular topic when we freestyle that you want us to elaborate on, because sometimes we can't just think and know what everybody's thinking. So we kind of throw a little bit of this, a little of that out there. And I think we did that tonight. We threw a lot of information out there, but it all, once again, ties in and themes to the same thing. And the theme is there's something happening mysteriously in this world right now that is supernatural in nature, that is affecting everything that's happening in the world. It's affecting the people, the land, the environment, the blood that's being shed. Everything all has a part to play. If we're not going into the Middle East, or we have earthquakes and we have people, bizarre deaths, it's still all tied together, because as long as that blood is continuously pumping on the ground and spilling, then we know that every day, probably every minute, there are portals and things opening. So my question now is where I was going with all this is, I was reading an article on the pyramids. I was into a little bit of Stonehenge, and then went back onto the pyramids. And I think it still remains the same. We can verify or come up with reasons why we believe how many years it took, with the amount of help from many, you know, Egyptians or however it was that contributed to building those pyramids, how many years it would take. And I forgot how many thousands of years it would take if you were pumping out so many hours a day, 7 days a week, still not being able to, because I guess the whole thing was all those blocks where we could talk about the fact that, you know, maybe they had something and they built something and they were able to transport these rocks and set them on each other, okay? So say we debunk that. Say human hands did that, right? How do you account for getting the actual blocks themselves, which were hundreds of miles away? So how do you send a group to go over there to grab those blocks, to bring them all the way back, and we know how many tons each one was? How do you justify that? So it blows me away. Every time I revisit the whole pyramid thing, I can't wrap my rational thoughts that human hands were the result of creating these pyramids.
You know, if you address the fact that there are over 50,000 sacred sites with some kind of very precisely built temple, pyramids, stone formation all over the world. And then you look at the fact that these all give off a resonance and they're possibly a transformer or a receiver of energy. So you've got 50,000 all across the world on these non-scientific ley lines that most people that are in that world know are there because they can be measured. So you put all that, and so we have all of these, for lack of a better word, receivers and transmitters. Then you take the amount of bloodshed we've been talking about, and you take the amount of violence, and you take the amount of evil, and you take the amount of anguish and the anger and the emotion that's in the air, and all of those things begin to absorb that. Might that explain the shaking and the booms? Might there actually be something to all of this? I mean, I believe there is. I'd love to be able to hit the road and show that. I mean, one of the things I talk on in the new seminar that I'm doing is something as simple as Cleopatra's needle, which I used to look at Central Park all the time. This really tall obelisk that I did not realize really came from Egypt. I did not realize that it preceded Cleopatra by 1,000 years. I did not realize that there were 3 other exact replicas. There's one in New York, there's one in London, there's one in Paris, France. And then there's the original, the 4th one is in Thebes. Were they moved for a reason? What's going on here? And I know this gets off into an area that most believers, you know, especially dyed-in-the-wool Orthodox Christians, want to put their hands over their ears right now and go, not listening, because it just sends your brain into a place that, like the question you asked, who built these things? I don't believe humans built them. I know we can find our resident, a resident egghead who will say that man did it, and they did it with these logs, and they did it with water, and they did it with this, and they did it with that. Sorry, not believing you. Thank you for playing.
Sorry. Yeah.
Pick up your parting gifts on the way out. There's so much going on at the same time. As I was sitting and working on this today going, wow, I'm talking about what's in the news, and there's so much happening. And I want to take a couple of things that we could at least tie together, but there's so much happening at the same time. You mentioned the super soldier things, which DARPA, we've been talking about that for 2 years. DARPA's even closer to it. The Iron Man suit from the movies, they're working on it. It seems like every time the movies does something, 2 to 3, 4 years, maybe 10 years later, we have it. Are you telling me that's an accident? I don't think so. I do not think so. There's something more going on here than meets the eye. The movies that are coming out, and this is just completely off the script. Have you ever wondered why the number of superhero themed TV shows and movies that are coming out over the next 2 years? Is it simply because supply and demand, people will buy the tickets? Or is there more of there's something else going on? Why are we being force-fed a world in which superheroes, superhumans, hybrid humans exist? Just a thought.
My problem is always going to be the same. My problem is this. No matter how we rationalize everything that we talk about, obviously we don't want to be the ones, we don't try to come across as the ones that are always trying to find a conspiracy, or, we're trying to make something out of nothing. We're trying to make something that is not supernatural, just to fit our motives, just to fit our radio show. We really don't do that. That's not who we are, okay? But I'm sorry to say on this one, when you take all the sacred sites, and that's, Stonehenge, and that's the pyramids, and Punku Island. I mean, think about it. We can go on all these sacred sites that I just know that I know that it was not by the hands of man. And if man did have a part in it. He had a part in assisting something higher to do this. And it's not just the pyramids, it's everything as a whole. It's life that we're looking at right now, looking at things that are happening before our eyes that we can't always write it off as human hands. Sure, are humans fully capable? Are people, we fully capable of murdering and doing some of the grotesque things? Or
absolutely.
Just one day?
We are.
But once again, though, what will always go untold because of our human ignorance is how much of that really is humanistic, meaning just where do we draw that fine line that outside forces did attribute to maybe helping that person push themselves over that cliff? We're not saying that they wouldn't do it and they wouldn't commit an act or anything like that, but what type of influence did they have? And not just by friends and people and coworkers or whatever, but outside forces outside of this dimension. That's the question.
You know, we'll probably do this in a future show, but a lot of people are saying, you ask, why did you do that? This thought just came in my head and I did it. Well, we've talked about it and you can find it all over the internet. There are machines that have been developed by militaries and governments that can implant a thought through radio waves in your brain. And depending upon your psychological and moral makeup, you will act on that or not. Created that device, and we believe that there are these interdimensional beings, which i.e. angels and demons, and they have access to the same radio waves and to the same Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and all these other things. You begin to look at all this, and right about now somebody's probably going, I'm moving to an island where there is no electricity, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no Bluetooth, there's nothing, and I'm just going to crack open coconuts and fish, which probably is not a bad idea, but the fact is we can't do that. At least I can't. I can't afford to do that, and if you can't either, you got to live in this. And it's just gotten really bizarre. Science fiction has become science fact. Conspiracy theory has become conspiracy fact. You watch the X-Files from 20 years ago, you look at the first and second season, third season, and you just look at that and you shake your head and go, well, that's already happened, that's already happened, there's rumors of that, that's possible now. Everything you look and thought was fictional is now possible. So where does this all go? And part of the reason why I like looking at the news and getting people to look at this is to say, if you're going to be fully awake, you need to be willing to accept what you see. Or you just go back to sleep. I don't know what to tell you. 6 minutes to go here. Woody, 5 minutes, actually. What do you think, Jeff?
5 minutes to midnight. Well, listen, this is what I want to say to everybody that's listening out there. First of all, thank you for listening and being with us, as always, as we kick off the beginning of this year, hopefully with lots of good things in store. But I will say this, and I'm going to say it again. When we freestyle like this, what I really want and what I really hope for is for us to be able to answer some of those questions, you know. And sometimes we try to think of, okay, how can we be different, or how can we have a certain topic, and what would you like to talk about? And then sometimes, you know, if you have it your way, Richard, you'll go on to something that you like. I will too, and we'll merge everything together, and we got a great show. But I'm saying this to the audience out there. If there's specific topics, please just email us, tell us, let us know. We'll talk about them, because one thing that we've addressed at the beginning of this year, you know, with the show is we don't want to compromise and settle just for radio show appearances and have people come on just because we've got to have somebody on. I never believed that we needed to have a guest on. I think what we really wanted to do was make this show for you, the people out there, not even for us, just to get that information, and we can troubleshoot through stuff. And I've always used the term sift through that sand to find gold, because eventually we're going to find that nugget we need or that piece of information as we keep on sifting. So you know, send us some ideas that, you know, in some topics, and we'll be more than happy to elaborate on it. I know for myself, Richard, that, you know, in the near future, one thing we haven't really talked about in a while, although it doesn't seem like we haven't, because obviously, you know, everything is always predicated around, you know, the supernatural, but maybe a show in the future to elaborate a little bit about angels and how angels do work in our lives, both good and bad, how they can manipulate and play into it. And there's much scripture to support a lot of the stuff that we believe. And I know angels are a hot topic, and I believe this year we're going to see a lot so of shows and programs and things themed on angels. So just send us the ideas, and we'll put together something.
You know, I hope that we stir up your mind and get you to think. Because if you're turning on TV, like before I came in here to get ready for the show, flipping channels and the Golden Globes is on, and they're talking about what suit is this, what dress is that, whose jewelry is this, and oh, you look so great. And you're realizing, yeah, if you had that much money, you could look great too. And it's so vapid and so meaningless. And what we're talking about here, I think, has meaning. And I hope you'll agree with me. But again, finally awake. Eyes are open. What are you going to do? Now that you know, now that the excuse is gone, you can't say, I don't know, no one told me. What are you going to do? My suggestion is continue reading, continue studying. Make sure your spiritual life is right, because if it's not, none of this other stuff matters. And Wednesday night, we do a Bible study. Tune in, listen, learn, and then tie the two shows together. Without realizing it, you'll know that we do that. We tie the two shows together, but you can also listen to them apart. A lot of stuff going on out there. This ISIS thing, this bloodshed, it's not going to go away. It's only going to escalate, because this wave has become so huge. I don't darkness here, yeah. But we have the light switch. The light switch is on. We're going to blare as bright as possible and shine that light into the darkness so that you can see what's there. I'm Richard Grun on behalf of Joseph Drone, SRT. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.